Come on up here from Frederick area, right?
Yes.
All right.
You timing this?
Yeah.
Okay. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, a little bit louder? All right. I'll try to project.
Yeah.
My name is Burl. I'm a recovering addict. I'm from the Frederick area. I have a home group. My home group is the Just for the Day meet the Narcotics Anonymous in the Frederick area. Meets on Sundays, 6:30. If you're ever in Frederick, need a meeting on Sunday evening, come see us. It's a step meeting. It's really good, folks. And I also have a sponsor who's in NA, who has a sponsor who's in NA, who has a sponsor who's in NA, who has a sponsor who's in NA. And I really think that's important, but it's not absolutely necessary. Speaking about my sponsor, could we take a moment? My sponsor's been really important for me, you know, and he's the last sponsor I hope I ever need. I've had many because I've used this program as a revolving door, and this time I'm here to stay. You know, I'm a member of the No Matter What Club. My sponsor last year, September 8th, went to work and was involved with an accident, and he was flown to shock trauma. And then in November, right before Thanksgiving, he was moved to a rehab. So, and he's having to learn how to walk, speak, and everything that we take for granted all over again, you know. And he hasn't been home since that morning, September 8th, you know. God, please instill Donnie with the will to do what he needs to do so he can come out, so he can be here for us in Narcotics Anonymous, but mostly and most selfishly for me here in Narcotics Anonymous. And I thank you for this man who you have put in my life. And may he once again grace these rooms in a manner that he would like to. Amen. This topic, I was asked to do a workshop, and I was like, nah, I'm not going to do a workshop, because I'm not really a speaker. And then once I heard the topic and what they want me to speak on, and I said, well, that fits us to the T. You know, I can speak on my experience, my strength, and my hopes about being married to a recovering addict, you know. And my grand sponsor told me, all you got to do is say, hey, how it was, how you got here, and how it is now. And that's the message of Narcotics Anonymous, you know, and that's how we transfer hope up in here, you know. I heard a story where there was a man walking by a stream, and he heard a voice, and it was somebody out in the stream, and they were yelling for help, and he ran out, and he dove in, he swam out, he got him, he dragged him to shore. No sooner he got that person to shore, he heard another voice out in the stream, and he ran and jumped in and swam out, and this happened and happened and happened, and until finally he couldn't do it no more, but the voices kept being heard out there. And he finally just looked up and said, God, please show me what's going on upstream, you know. And that man, or that person today for me, was my sponsor, you know, or all the other sponsors that I had. And that person for me today is the therapist that I spent time with. Matter of fact, I used to tease my wife that the woman that I had the longest relationship in my life besides my mom and my sister was my therapist. So, but she's no longer my therapist now. So, you know, and it's okay for me to talk about that today because, you know, around here we can go and get outside help, you know, and I mentioned them and my network, you know, because when you come around here, they tell you don't get in a relationship for a year. You know, and a whole lot of times they don't tell you why. You know, and Bobby told us why. And thank you, Bobby. And there's a lot of important things that need to be in place, you know, in order for any relationship to work successfully. You know, for me and the marriage with my wife, the things that work important is the fact that we have a God. We share the same belief system. We trust and believe in the process of recovery. Her recovery is her recovery. My recovery is my recovery. We come together. We discuss things. And we assist each other. We don't beat each other up. You know, sometimes our kids at night, they think that we're crazy. Because all they hear is laughing and joking downstairs. Well, no, not down. Well, in the lower level. Our bedroom is down in the lower level, you know. So a lot of times you'll hear them say, "Ah, come on. Y'all shut up." It's sickening. And we like to tease them, you know. You remember that scene from Forrest Gump when the mother was trying to get him in school? And she invited the schoolmaster over, you know, and when he's leaving out, he looks over at Forrest and says, "Your mama sure do love you." You know, my kids today, I don't have any biological kids, but my kids, her kids are my kids. You know, that's part of what I had to do in making a commitment to her was make a commitment to them, you know, and today, the way I'm living today, it hasn't always been like that, you know, but what we found some common ground when we finally hooked up or whatever, and, you know, and one of the things that we figured out was talk, and we talked, and we discussed things, and we found out that we shared many things, you know. We found out that she was abused when she was young. I was abused when I was young, you know. And, you know, I was sexually abused by an older female family member, somebody that I was supposed to love and trust and keep me safe, you know, when my parents weren't around. And, you know, and that kind of warped me towards relationships, you know, because, you know, what was done to me, I liked, and I wanted more of it, you know. And so, you know, over the years, I started looking for that and thinking about being in relationships as my wife liked to say all the time, we introduce each other to each other from the waist down, you know. And so that's the way that for a long time I ran on, you know. Growing up, being a teenager, you know, it was rough being a skinny little boy with thick glasses and always having a book full, armful of books, you know, and being a good student, you know. Y'all women, y'all didn't like those good students. Y'all like the bad boys or the athletes or the ones that got all the drugs, you know. So, you know, and I wanted more of what I was exposed to, not knowing that it wasn't exposed to me in the right way. So I followed along that path, you know. And one of my first sponsors in that area was a gentleman that I went to school with named Frederico. You know, he was a tall, skinny, unlikely guy to have the women chase after him. But, you know, he had a afro that was cut like Woody Woodpecker and, you know, and he walked stooped over. But he would get calls from women, and he had this little bag that he would grab that bag, and he would go off. And we noticed you know, after we watched him, he would get a call from a woman. He would go into his dorm room and he would grab his bag and he would, you know, go off to meet him, you know. And then one day I got brave and I asked him what was in the bag. And he told me that in the bag was toys. And he proceeded to tell me how to use them and what he did with them. And I was like, wow. So therefore, I was very attentive and I learned how to use many different things to get the desired result so that I could get what I really, really wanted, you know, and I ran with that for a long time, you know. But the bottom line was, you know, I was missing something. I didn't know what it was, you know, and I tried filling it with sex. I tried filling it with drugs. I tried filling it with being popular. You know, I even was exposed to the God that I have today, but it wasn't my God. It was the God of my ancestors, the God of my father, God of my mother, and the God of my grandmothers, you know, and grandfathers. You know, but it wasn't until, you know, I got to the place where just one more of anything wasn't enough. You know, it was too many. One was too many and 1,000 was never enough. You know, and that's when my sponsor and recovery finally took off. You know, I came around here many, many, many times, you know, and I didn't pay attention to don't get in a relationship. I didn't pay attention to get a sponsor, get a home group. You know, I didn't pay attention to what I know now is pay attention to the women from the neck up. You know, they have eyes. These aren't their eyes. You know, but by the time I got here, I had ran through a whole lot of relationships. You know, I had been married before, you know, and it doesn't help, you know, being married and being in love with the drug of your choice. You know, because you end up doing things like going out on Valentine's Day to get a bottle of wine and a gift and some flowers, only to come back 3 days later with wilted flowers, empty bottle of wine, and no money. You know, you don't stay in a relationship that long. You know, and friends of mine have said that when they talk about their marriage and they've been married longer than I have, what do you know about being married? You know, my wife and I, we've only been married 6 or 7 years, depends on which date you go by, you know. And that's true. You know, we got married after we go to another place to fellowship, and on Thursday night after a book study, we decided we were going to get married because, you know, we were convicted down in our spirits, you know, because at home we have 2 young girls. You know, we have an older son, but he wasn't in the house. And we didn't want to give them the presentation of a man and woman cohabitating and living like man and wife without being man and wife. You know, so then a year later we got married. That's why we got 2 dates, you know, November 9th and October 14th. You know, but along the way, you know, I've been in really a whole lot of relationships where I was the problem, we were the problem, she was the problem. And I've been on both sides of the fence where I wasn't trying to be recovering. And even before that, I didn't know that I needed to be recovering. You know, I didn't know what the issue was. And so when I got into recovery this last time, you know, of course, I didn't wait the 1 year. But, you know, because one of my problems is a big butt and a smile. It'll get me every time, you know. And so I got into a relationship, but this person didn't really want to be in recovery. You know, we set up house and we went and got her son out of the protective services. And, you know, But she changed her mind and she decided she didn't want to be here anymore. You know, and I had to walk through that pain, you know. And that's when I was so grateful that I had a sponsor, you know, a home group, a network of men and women in my life that I could go to and I could talk about what was going on and how I was feeling and what was happening, you know. And I tried the best I could to do it in a manner where I wasn't putting her down and I was looking at the part I played in it, you know. And so over time, we end up splitting up, you know, and that young man that we went and got, he's still in my life, you know. I have this thing about the women I get involved with, their children adopt me, and then they don't never let me go. So I have, even though I don't have any biological kids, I have children, you know, not only the ones that are in our household, you know. And to bring it up to date, you know, I got here by, you know, paying all that money in therapy. You know, I went and met with this woman once a week. And it worked for me because I was willing to do what I did with my sponsor when I got there. I was willing to talk about me. I was willing to get open and honest, you know, and share about, you know, the things that scared me, the things that that I hoped for, the things that I, you know, that I have experienced in the past, you know. So fast forward, we got married, and I like to think that my wife had the fairy tale marriage, the wedding that she wanted, and her father and her husband, me, we tried our best to provide that. And but what I learned in being in a relationship with my wife today was that communication, those three C's that you just heard about, communication, commitment, and whatever the third one was, compromise. Oh, thank you. All right. All of that is so important, you know, because, like I said, we learn to talk to each other and we learn to discuss when I do something that pisses her off. She does something that pisses me off. The kids do something that piss both of us off or piss me off, you know. And the last thing I want to do is make her choose between them and me, you know. And so our process in handling those things is, number one, walk away. If we can't talk about it and keep it calm and keep it cool, you know, and collect our thoughts and express them, then we got to walk away. And then we go and talk to God. And that's why he is right there in the middle of our relationship. Matter of fact, to me, God is in the middle of all of my relationships. The relationship I have with my wife, the relationship I have with my children, the relationship I have with my sponsor, the relationship I have with the men and the women that are members of my network, you know. And then we come back together and we talk about it and we develop a plan and we try to implement that plan to the best of our ability. And thus far it's been able to work, you know, in a manner that we're still married, we're happily married, and this is the best relationship I've ever been in my life, you know. And the only thing that's more important to me is my relationship with the God of my understanding and the relationship with myself. Because without the two of them, there's no relationship between the two of us, you know. And so when we got married, we used to sit out on her back. Well, before we got married, when we used to sit out on her back patio or back deck, and we used to drink coffee. And this is even before we got intimate, you know, or before we got sexual, you know, because we got intimate before we got sexual, you know. And we used to talk about our fears and our hopes and our dreams and, you know, and about our different experiences to get to that point. And we knew that we were being drawn to each other. But what my wife asked me in the beginning was to allow her little girl to play with my little boy in the playground and not get hurt. And I tried my best to stick to that. You know, even to the point when, I have to be honest, when she wanted to change her mind, I was still trying to stand by what I told her I would do, you know. And you know, and that brings up front an experience that we had one night that she wanted me to stay real bad because the kids were with their grandparents down in Baltimore, and we were there. We had the house to ourselves, and she asked me to stay, and I told her no, I couldn't. And she said, but yes, you can. And I was like, no, I can't. I wanted to say, damn it, you had me promise you. But, you know, I was trying to stick to what I said. And then by this time, I knew that I had fallen in love with her, and I wanted her the way that I wanted her. And I didn't want her to be just like any of the other women that I've been with. You know, because, you know, through all my training, I got some weapons, and I know how to use them, and and I've gotten to be pretty good with them, and I knew that I could manipulate and use them to my advantage, and I wasn't trying to do that this time, you know, and that was a change for me, you know, and so I told her no, you know, and I said that I know I could have you, but when I get you, it's going to be the way that I want you. And I left. But to move forward, you know, that I think that was the best decision I ever made, because that proved to her my level of commitment. You know, that proved to her how much I believed in her and how much I valued her. And I like to think that it's been reciprocated, you know, because she makes me feel, you know, just like that Temptations song, My Girl, that's how I feel, and bring it up. You know, we've been happily married, but everything has been happy in our life. You know, 3 years ago, almost 3 years ago, I was told by my job that my team was going to be dissolved. You know, and I got to a point that I was making pretty good money. You know, coming around here and doing some things that y'all told me to do. I got a job and I learned how to be a good employee and show up and do my best. And therefore, they kept giving me raises and giving me more money. And I got comfortable and I wanted to be there. And I thought I found this job that I was going to have for the rest of my life, that I was going to retire from. And so by this time, we had bought a house. You know, we had came together and we had cleaned up our finances. And we got ourselves in a position where you could buy a house. And we bought the house. And 2 months after buying the house, well, before that, my wife has always had this dream, and I've always wanted to make this dream possible for her. And that dream was to walk and to work and spend time with her God and walk the path that God wants her to walk. And so I decided that since I was making pretty good money, that she could quit her job, and that was right before I knew about me losing my job. Speed it up. During the last couple years, I lost that job. I woke up in October of 2014 without a job. 2015, I ended up in school. God found a way for me to find a way to pay for school. You know, I managed to get $55,000. You know, given to me to pay for school, books, tuition, everything. And we've been able to live on me working on a part-time salary. Me going to school full-time. And I graduated in December, you know, with my bachelor's degree. And the kicker is, after me saying no way, no how would I go back to school, not only did I graduate, but now I'm in grad school. And now my full-time job is looking for a full-time job, you know. And none of this could have been possible without the God of my understanding, the love of a good woman, the support of a good woman, you know. And because a whole lot of days when I feel less than, I don't feel like I'm being the protector, I'm being the provider, I can call my wife, and together we can go to God. And we're in prayer. He'll give us the strength that we need to go through whatever is happening at that moment. So with that, I'm extremely grateful for God, my recovery, my wife, my life. And to me, gratitude is an action word. And I hope every day I show you how much I love you. Thanks for allowing me to share.